But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteousness." The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I can preach anymore without taking a sip of coffee before I get started. So, it started off as a cue for the, our folks in the back there to hit record for our sermons online. And now it's like, I don't know if I can do it without taking a drink. But here we are. And this scripture that Madeline read to us, I love, because there's finally some practical application use that Jesus gives us. You know, I think if we think all the time of what we know or think of the Bible, there's this idea that the Bible is our instruction book. The Bible directs us and tells us what to do. Do you guys remember that old acronym? It was back when I was a kid. The Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Have you ever heard that before? Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We're like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All these stories, I remember going to revivals and these sorts of things. People are like, if you're stuck, just open the scriptures. If you don't know what to do, just open the Bible and God will direct you with what to do. And it always seemed like when I did that, I'd read some weird passage and none of it would make very much sense. Like, what do you mean, just open this book and you'll have an understanding of what to do? I don't know. But here, finally, is a scripture with some practical usefulness. Jesus is at, once again, the leaders of the Pharisees having a meal. He's people watching. He's watching what we do when we're with one another. He watches people and the social structures jockeying back and forth for position. He notices that the guests choose the place of honor, trying to sit and make themselves most important. So he gives them this practical advice. Whenever you're invited to a party, happens all the time for me, I don't know about you, I've got my calendar full of social invitations. This is not true. You picked up on the sarcasm. Good job. When you're invited somewhere, don't set yourself up as the most important. Don't put yourself in the place of honor, because if somebody more important than you shows up, then they, of course, will need the distinguished honor place at the seating, and the host that invited you both, out of necessity, will have to invite you to go sit further down. You will not have the place of honor. Not only that, but then the next honorable place might already be filled, and so by the time the distinguished guest gets there and finds you in their seat, the only place left will be at the foot of the table at the very lowest spot, and you'll have to walk down in front of everybody, cast aside to the lowest spot. So don't do that. You're setting yourself up to be embarrassed, Jesus says. Instead, play it this way. Sit down at the lowest spot. And then, when your host sees you way down in a place of dishonor, they'll be honor-bound themselves to invite you forward and put you in a place of high honor. And so you'll be invited to walk, prance even, in front of everybody to the most distinguished spot. Jesus is being smart here, you see. Humble yourself. Don't think of yourself too important. And then those around you will lift you up and make you more important. Does anybody know the dangers of, say, guessing how old someone is? Or maybe perhaps how much someone weighs? I keep saying someone, it's women, right? Don't ever try to guess a woman's age or how much she weighs. Bad news. If somebody asks you, how old do you think I am? You're like, oh, I better play this safe and go really, really young. But if you don't go young enough, woohoo, that's even worse. You definitely can't be honest. Well, I think you look such and such an age. Whoa, see, you're chuckling. You're fearing for my life here. I wonder if perhaps Jesus's practical advice might be somewhat the same. I'm going to go sit myself down at the place of honor because then my host will have to invite me forward. And so I sit down there and nothing happens. I don't get moved. I've just hurt my own feelings, haven't I? Man, we have this advice that Jesus gives. Humble yourself and you'll be lifted up. It sounds so wonderful and so practical, but what happens if it doesn't go the way we want? And this is my main concern with reading this passage. I wonder what it sounded like for Jesus' audience to hear him say those words, or what Luke's first audience reading this gospel would have thought of this. I wonder if it was life-changing. Mind-blowing. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. What a wonderful life hack. Make yourself less important, and those around you will be honor-bound to lift you up. That was probably great advice. That was probably something that would have changed their lives and changed their social structures. But 2,000 years down the line, I wonder if we've not taken advantage of it. Have you ever met somebody that makes themselves sound more humble? But you can also tell they're trying to make themselves sound more humble. It's like football season just started. Can you imagine somebody in the NFL, a professional playing a game, being like, I'm just not that good. I don't know. I've just got lucky, I guess. And they're out there throwing for 300 yards a game and 5 touchdowns. Come on, man. Don't try. You're not fooling anybody pretending that you're not that good and turning around with all of these stats. Right? There's a kernel of goodness and advice out of this. We do want that professional athlete to bring around their teammates and honor them. I couldn't have done it without my offensive line keeping me protected. I couldn't have done it without those wide receivers catching the ball. But that's different than I'm just out here lucky. I'm really not that good, you guys. That performative humility. And I wonder if we don't do that in our faith and our church as well. This whole idea that Jesus is bringing up is don't set yourselves up too high. Humble yourselves because God will exalt you. Those who exalt themselves and think themselves too highly will be humbled one way or the other. Jesus is trying to flip and turn our world and these social expectations upside down, but I worry that we've already flipped them. And so now the bottom is the place of honor. Oh, look at all of these people I've helped. There's a thing with social media now about performative charity. Have you ever seen a post or a video of somebody going and helping feed perhaps a homeless person or something like that? And it always seems that there's behind it all, as good as feeding this person is, there's a look at me doing this good thing. Maybe? Anybody run across anything like that? There's a danger of pointing out how humble we are. I would imagine what Jesus would say to the person that puts themselves at the low seat of honor and says, look at me sitting way down here. Sooner or later, someone's going to move me up high. How often do we do those things and invite praise through our humility? Finally, the second part of the scripture that Jesus turns and looks to the hosts. It says, when you invite somebody, don't invite the people that you would think to be invited to a party, your friends, your brothers, relatives, your rich neighbors. You're going to get repaid. In Jesus' time, the social expectation was that these invitations to parties were reciprocal. If I've invited you to a party, you're going to invite me to a party yourself, one that is equally as rich as others. And if you played your cards right with your party invitations, you could move up the social ladder. I'm going to invite, you know, punch above my weight class, as it were, invite someone a little bit better off than me so that when they do eventually come, they'll invite me to their party and I show up at their high class establishment. This is good. We do these reciprocal invitations and get higher and higher, more and more prestige with our guests and the parties that we are invited to. So don't invite your rich neighbor to your party, because when they invite you to theirs, you will be repaid. But instead, again, Jesus flipping the social expectations on their head. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Those folks that will not be throwing parties. You're not going to get an invitation back. And if you did, you probably wouldn't be caught dead showing up at their place anyways. You're not going to be repaid in kind from inviting them to your banquet. But all throughout that, the bottom line is that God will bless you. There is a justice and a justice system throughout all of it. If you are not repaid here in this life, God will bless you. So invite those folks that cannot repay you your kindness and your invitation, because that debt will be paid by God. Turn it upside down. But 2,000 years later, do we not take advantage of it? Do we not go out and performatively do these works? This has always been a paradox and a predicament for me. As a leader of the congregation, I want us to go out and do work. I'm so proud when we collect all of those donations for the schools and the homeless shelter. Part of me wants to put a big old Providence Christian Church banner on the side of a van and parade it through town, maybe take the long way to the homeless shelter. Look at all the things that Providence has brought forward. How many people are out there looking for a church that does great service work? This would be good. We'd advertise how much good works we're doing. Others who are looking to do those same works would show up and say, oh, look at Providence and all the work that they're doing. But I wonder also if that doesn't repay us already. And so when all those things are donated, we pile them up in the back of the car and we just show up. I did this last time with the homeless shelter. Piled up all of that soap and the paper goods all in the back of my car. I put the seats down and everything so I could get more and more in there. And I rang on the doorbell and said, hey, I've got some donations for you. She said, oh, thank you. We'll send some folks out. And they came and got them all. And she said, do you need a donation slip for all of these things? I said, no, it's from Providence. That was it. See the problem? I think that's right. But how do we let people know the good work that we're doing? Have we turned our lesson from Jesus of not seeking attention into a way that we're not getting any attention? And so sometimes I put on the little Providence hat, get my Providence shirt, quietly do those things. We cannot listen to this passage and race to the bottom. We cannot hear these words of Jesus saying, humble yourself so that God will exalt you, and purposely make ourselves too humble. There is an expectation that we're proud of who we are and the work that we're doing. So let's flip our world back upside down. Let us not exalt ourselves too highly. Let us not bring about too much praise, but live and do the gospel and Christ work humbly. Amen.